Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and God bless you, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Sword of the Spirit Ministries. I want to say God bless everybody for coming out. Tonight, Brother Barney will be sharing, of course, the true word of God, so let us get to it. Let us open up service. But before we do, while we're opening up service, please, God bless you, get your Bibles ready. Sit back, relax, don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. Amen. Praise God. Well, let us open up service, and then I'll give it back to you, Barney. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father God. And Lord, before we even pray this prayer, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for forgiveness, Father. If we said anything or done anything, Lord, that was not pleasing to you, Lord, I pray, Father, that your mercy, Lord, would fall upon us in the name of Jesus. Father God, we open up service tonight, Lord, with your authority to be on this line. And I pray, Father God, for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to flow through this radio station and to flow, Lord, through every listener. Father, I pray for anointing, Father, to be upon this radio and upon Barney, Lord. And I pray tonight, Father, that you will use him in the name of Jesus. We love you, we praise you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Barney, back to you. God bless you.
Amen. Glory goes to God. Thank you, Nancy. God bless you. God bless our listeners, each and every one of you. And for our new callers, before we get started, I'd like to introduce our beliefs. We are non-denominational. We believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins on the cross. And we also believe he is risen on the third day and is coming back. at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. We believe you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. We believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we are not affiliated with any other prayer line or radio. Amen. Glory goes to God. And welcome to Sword of the Spirit Ministries. Get your Bibles, pens, and papers ready, because as usual, I have a lot of scriptures, and I like to use a lot of scriptures. And tonight we're going to start off with in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Amen. And it goes like this. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. Hallelujah, Father God. Lord, we come to your throne of mercy and grace by the blood of the Lamb. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And Father God, we offer you praises, honor, and glory to your holy name. We ask, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us. Give us knowledge and wisdom, guidance and understanding of your word. Open our eyes, our ears, and prepare our hearts to receive your word. And Father God, let your word grow and be rooted and bring much fruit for your power, for your glory, for your kingdom. Let us apply it to ourselves and share it with others, that you would be well pleased. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, we thank you and we praise you. Amen and amen. Well, it says in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, we should not judge for the simple reason to be careful when we judge somebody, because the same measurement how we judge others, it will be measured back to us, and we will be judged according to the same way. Amen. So now we're going to read the scripture and get a full understanding. What does it mean to judge? How to judge? Should we judge or should we not judge? Amen. And then verse 3 says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? So how could we say our brother has a mote, but in our own eye we have a beam? Verse 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. So what it's saying there from the start of the chapter, you shall not judge, because don't be hypocrites in your judgment. If you have a mold in your eye and your brother has, if you have a beam in your eye and your brother has a mold, how could you tell your brother, let me take the mold out of your eye if you have a beam in your eye? Unless you take the beam out of your own eye, you would be able to see clearly. And then you could help your brother and take the mold out of your brother's eye. That's what the scripture is meaning right there, what we just read. In other words, do not be hypocrites in your judgment. Do not judge because you're upset. Do not judge to be hypocritical. Do not judge just for the sake of judging. There is a time and a place to judge and a way to judge. But in this way, just to be hypocritical, it says do not judge. Many Christians misinterpret what the Bible says about judging and to say what we should never judge in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. Jesus did say not to judge. However, a closer look at the verse will show that he is referring to hypocritical judging. He went on to say that when a hypocrite cleans up his own life, then he will be fit to judge another. Of course, it is always wrong to make judgments about a person's motive or thoughts, because we do not know their mind. As in John chapter 7:24, Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, we cannot judge a book by its cover. Do not judge a person by the way of the outside, according to appearance, according to the way it seems like. But it does say, judge righteously. Stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. In this verse, Jesus is talking about making righteous judgment in regards to God's laws, to God's word. We must make judgment in matters of biblical doctrine and righteous living. We have to judge when it comes to doctrine and righteous living. It's a necessity. It's a must. The Bible is our foundation. It's the word of God. It's what we build on. And if we do not have discernment to follow what God says, then it will become just another book. Then everyone will be denying whatever they think is right, just like the Israelites did in the time of the Judges, the book of Judges. In the book of Judges 21, verse 25 says, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. This is what happens when there is no right or wrong. And this is what's going on in a lot of churches today, because the word that is being put out there, do not judge. You have to judge. Because look what it says, Judges 21:25. In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit. And everybody has their own way of thinking. Everybody has their own way of interpreting scriptures, and everyone has their own understanding according to what is a Christian. But that's not the way it is, according to the word of God. We have to go by his word, what he says. Amen? There's one judge, and that's the word himself. And he gave us scriptures how we should live as Christians. To keep God's commandments, we must first judge what is right and what is wrong. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is in a sinful way of life, immoral sin, greedy, an idol worshiper, or a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. This is not my words. This is not what Barney came up with. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. Expel the wicked man from among you. It says to expel the wicked man from among you. Now, if we do not judge, and nobody judges everybody, let the wicked man be right there and have fellowship with the wicked man, and then have fellowship with all these other ones, the slanderers, the drunkeners, just that we do not judge each other. But that's not the word of God. That's being deceived. That's believing a lie. Because it says, expel the wicked man among you. In these verses, God tells us to judge church members and expel them if necessary. Then we are told in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. How can one do that if we don't first judge what is good and what is evil? So we must make judgment about what is right and what is wrong so that we can live according to God's word and God's commandments. Amen? We're going to examine things like personal matters, which are disputable. Okay, these are personal matters, and they are disputable. Romans 14 talks about matters which we are not to judge because they are disputable. disputable matters are things which God has left to our choice, things such as what we eat, as in Romans 14, verse 2. For one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eats herbs. So in other words, one could be a truly converted, born-again Christian, and he could believe that he is allowed to eat all things. Another could be a truly born-again, converted Christian, and he chooses to eat herbs, like fruits and vegetables. What they we worship in Romans 14:5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. These are personal thoughts of one person as a Christian. What the Bible translates, we read, watching TV, etc., things like that, these are matters of personal choices and are not essential to salvation. I repeat, these are a personal matter and are not essential to salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 talks about how women, for instance, should dress modestly, but other than that, they should be free to dress however they please, as long as it is modestly. However, in Romans 14:21, God tells us, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. In other words, if it is permissible for you to eat whatever meat you choose or even drink a glass of wine, that is fine. But if it offends your brother and may cause your brother to fall, this verse makes it clear that we must be careful not to do anything that could cause a person to fall, because another person's salvation is far more important than pleasing ourselves. A certain matter may seem absolutely unimportant to us, but to another person, or in another culture even, it may be a serious issue and damaging to their faith, or even a bad for a Christian image. In Romans chapter 14, verses 10, but why doest thou judge thy brother? Or why doest thou set at night thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every one shall bow to me, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Amen. So yes, what the scripture is saying there, we all have to stand before God, and we all have to give an account of ourselves for every little thing, whether it's good or bad. We all have to give an account to God. So why should we do something that we know could offend a brother or a sister and might even cause them to fall? We will be accountable for that. Amen. This scripture warns us that we will give an account to God for our actions, not only for our sins against God or heaven or even ourselves, but even against others. Now, let us look at a personal thing that are not disputable to decide if a person's actions or activities are disputable or not. We need to ask ourselves, can this affect someone's salvation? The things that we say and do, or how we live as a Christian, can this affect somebody's salvation? this is very important and very serious. If the answer is yes, then you can be sure that the Bible warns us against doing it, and we should warn others. The church is commanded to judge and discipline members concerning their personal conduct. The Corinthians were told, expel the wicked man from among you, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on this day of the Lord. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 13. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourself that wicked person. The people outside of the church, the non-Christian, what he's saying, let God judge them. But those that claim they're Christians or are within the church, it is our duty to have discernment and judge them. How else would we know what to tell them? This man was expelled from the church after he was judged as being wicked. He was expelled in the hope that he would repent and be accepted back into the church. Another example of warning our brothers and sisters is in James chapter 5, 19 and 20. These verses say, my brother, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone shall bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. Even that scripture, I heard a lot of people twist that around and say a completely different thing the way it's meant to be. It says, if you know or see a brother or a sister who turns from the way of truth and is walking into a life of lukewarm, and if you go after the brother and the sister and bring them back to the Lord and bring them into the light, then you save that person from a multitude of sins. It is not possible to follow these instructions, what we just read in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, and save this person from death without judging his actions. Let's say that person, brother or sister, is in the world and completely carnal and is not walking in with the Lord. And we're deciding, let's pray for our brother and sister and let's go after them and tell them the truth. And someone says, well, who are you to judge? Or how can you judge? Or if that brother or sister tells us, who are you to judge me? Well, what do? Because we love that brother or sister, we leave them like that. We do not tell them the truth and we hold back and leave that brother or sister like that. That's not the right way of doing things. We are to judge. We are to know enough the word of God and have enough love for that brother or sister and go after them and tell them, look, what you're doing is wrong. Look what it says in the word. It says here, right here, that what you are doing is wrong in the eyes of God, and God loves you, and we love you, and we want to pray for you to come back to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. But we're not supposed to do it hypocritically and mock that brother and mock that sister and condemn them. That's not our doing. It's our doing to judge what is right and what is wrong and use that in a God-loving way. As hard as it is to do it, it is an act of love to confront a sinning brother or sister, and it is uncaring not to try to help them. In Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9, it talks about the watchman. God warns the watchman, that if he fails to sound the alarm, the warning, then he will be held accountable. All Christians are watchmen, true born again, converted Christians, not the so-called Christian, but a true born again Christian is supposed to be a watchman. So let us lovingly encourage a brother or a sister who have gone off the path of righteousness. Also, if we do not keep God's standards of holiness, sin will soon work its way throughout people and churches and will become just another unholy social club. People that say they love each other and will not judge nobody, whether it's right or wrong, good or evil, that place or that church or that building or that social gathering, it's all it is, a social gathering. Because nobody loves anybody enough to tell somebody the truth, and the truth is not being told. Amen? Even though people will tell us that we should not judge, the Bible makes it clear that we should. Following examples would show us the apostle exposing error, like Paul named and spoke against certain men in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. It says, avoid worthless, foolish talks that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the cases of Hymenaeus and Philetus. I think I'm pronouncing their name right. It says to avoid foolish talks that will lead to more godless behavior, because this kind of talk would just spread like cancer. And he's using an example, these two people here, and that's judging, and that's using judging in the wrong manner. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says, Alexander and coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said. Now this is Paul talking in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And in the world today, and people in the church today that call themselves Christians, what we just read in this verse, in this scripture, would say, well, that's being judgmental. We'll see how we got it all wrong, because we're told we're not supposed to judge. But look what it says. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said. So therefore, we are to judge, but judge righteously and not do it hypocritically. 1 Timothy 1:19, cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples. I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so they might learn not to blaspheme God. Did you hear that? This is Paul talking. Amen. John named a man who was in error in 3 John 1, 9-10. And it says, I wrote to the church about this. But Diotrephus, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusation he is making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Amen. So right there, again, is that judging or telling the truth? We are not to hold back the truth. Paul publicly corrected Peter, a fellow apostle, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers, who were not following the Jewish traditions. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from those people who insisted on the necessity of following the Jewish traditions. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Verse 14, when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish law and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? Amen. Some people today would call that and say, well, Paul is judging Peter. We're not supposed to judge. But when it comes to the word of God, God commands us to judge in righteousness. Amen. Leaders caught in false teaching or immorality are to be rebuked publicly, as 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. Those will serve as a strong warning to others. Amen. I'm going to repeat this, what it said. Those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others. Now, somebody would say, well, that's judging. Well, judging or not, we are supposed to tell the truth, we are supposed to rebuke, and we are supposed to correct. That's if you're truly a born-again Christian and you have the love of the truth, you have the true word of God. But you're not supposed to be hypocritical. This is what we need to remember. Do not be a hypocrite, but you are supposed to tell the truth. Amen. Christians who won't repent must be removed from the church. Matthew 18:15-17 says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Now, others would say, a lot of people would say, that's judging. Well, that's correcting by the word of God, and that's being done in a lovable fashion. Oh, but we cannot judge one another. It's false teaching that allows fake Christians and false teachers to spread inside the churches. These examples make it clear that we must judge, publicly expose error, if necessary, discipline those who are in sin. The salvation of souls and the purity of church depends on these matters. There's a lot of peer pressure telling us not to judge and not to speak against false teachings, even when it's known that souls are being misled. When we know somebody that's a false teacher, people say, well, we're not supposed to judge, but souls are being misled and could end up in hell because of this. People will say we must not judge or let's keep our peace and unity. However, if we don't show people their error, then they may end up in a very bad place. Jesus told us clearly in Matthew 24:10-11, that during the end times, many will turn away from the faith, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. A worldwide economical movement is spreading and seducing millions of Christians into an ungodly unity of false hope, which knows nothing about salvation through repentance and the leadership of Jesus Christ. We must not allow ourselves to be drawn into this kind of lie, as there is only one hope and salvation, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. All other promises of salvation are untrue. The only true salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God through the grace of God. We should not have unity in error. Amen? Glory goes to God. In other words, it does not matter how or what you believe in this ecumenical movement, as long as they are all one in unity. And this is also where we should not judge comes into, because it doesn't matter. Just don't judge nobody. We all need to be in one unity. Well, that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Throughout the world, there are churches, televangelists, teachers with all sorts of false teachings, fake healing ministries, and false prosperity gospel. These people are described and condemned in 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reasoning, of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And if you want to, you could continue reading the whole chapter of Peter, but I think that's enough to get an understanding. And Romans 16:17 warns us, watch out for these who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. In Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Which doctrine? There's only one doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And that is, when Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth, he also said that the Holy Spirit would teach, correct, and rebuke. And we are supposed to do the same. If we have the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to discipline, we're supposed to teach, we're supposed to correct and rebuke. Amen? How could the Holy Spirit, Jesus sends us, and we do different? Then we are not God's children. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to obey God, his word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. If anyone preaches a different doctrine than what is preached in the Bible, then that person would be accursed. God condemns those who preach false gospel, like the Bereans in Acts 17:11, it says. These are more notable than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness in mind and search the scriptures daily those things were so. In other words, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. We should not go by what people tell us. You're not supposed to judge. We're supposed to read the word and see what God tells us, like the Bereans here and the Thessalonians, what they're talking about in Acts 17. They're searching the scriptures in readiness in mind and searching scriptures daily. Not once a week, not once a year, but daily. We must check the scriptures to see if we are being taught what we're being taught is the truth. We must warn others about false teaching. How could we warn others about false teaching and somebody tells us, well, we cannot judge? We have to pick and choose there. Now, if you know the truth, you have to speak the truth. And therefore, we have to judge and judge righteously. Otherwise, they may be badly misled and leave the path of holiness. So we have to tell the truth. The word of God teaches us not to have fake love for anybody, that it's okay to sin. It teaches us it's not okay to sin. People tell us it's okay, don't judge nobody. It's okay. That's another way of saying it's okay to sin. And false teaching, it's okay. It doesn't say that in the Word of God. It says strongly to rebuke and to correct. You must first have the love for the truth. And that comes first before you can truly have love for one another. If one says we're not supposed to judge nobody because we love that person, we don't want to hurt that person and tell them the truth, that's fake love. That's not the true love. True love comes from loving the true word of God and loving God. And then you can have the love for one another because you love that person enough to tell that person the truth. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 3 to 5. As I beseech thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, spiritual pedigrees, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith do so. Now, the end of the commandments are charity out of pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfainted. Amen. These are the things that a person should have when they have the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 3, 5 tells us, command certain men not to teach false doctrines. The goal of this commandment is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. As we can see from the verses, this reason God commands us to judge, and because of the love for each other. As false teaching leads believers away from God, failing to judge is failing to love. Amen? I hope everybody caught that. Failing to judge is failing to love. We cannot say we love anybody if we do not judge righteously. Finally, if you were in error, wouldn't you want someone to warn you? Of course you would. So in love, warn a brother or sister when it is necessary, as in James chapter 4, 17. It tells us, therefore to him that knoweth, that knows to do good and does not, to him it is a sin. Amen. If you know the truth and you know the word of God and you know a brother or a sister is going the wrong way, and you do not tell them, to you that is a sin. So we must judge and judge righteously. Amen. Failing to judge righteously is is unloving and will leave a sinner on the bad road, a road to destruction. Also, if there is no discipline in the church, then there is no discipline in the church, and sin will spread to other members of the church. And again, it'll just turn out to be a building of another social club. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The flesh, a carnal minded, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he them, because they are spiritually discerned." Amen. Hebrews 5:14, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Amen. Those who claim they know the word of God, they're spiritual minded, then you must have discernment, which is also a spiritual gift from God. What's the use of having discernment, knowing the word, if you do not judge righteously and tell your brother or your sister they are in error because you love them? There's no such thing. If you truly love that brother or sister, you would judge righteously and tell them. 1 Corinthians 12:10, "To another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits. Therefore, having discernment, good and evil, right and wrong, the true word of God, you have to use judgment." Amen. Discernment comes from the Spirit of God to know the difference between what is right and wrong. So now that we have an understanding of what the Bible says about judging, yes, don't be a hypocrite in passing judgment and condemning nobody. That is not our job. But have the discernment in judging, and judge righteously, and it can only be because of the love of the truth and the love for one another. Amen? Glory goes to God. And I hope everybody got that message and understood it. Amen? Nancy, back to you.
Well, amen, and God bless you, Barney. very good message. Praise God. If anybody has a question, a comment, or a prayer, or a scripture that they'd like to share, please press number 1 on your keypad, and we'll bring you up on air. God bless you. We have a few minutes. God bless you. We do have a caller, Barney, 316. You are almost on the air. God bless you, caller. You're on air.
It's Dinah. God bless you guys. I just got on.
God bless you.
God bless you guys, too. I needed a prayer for my sister, the Jamutro, Pedraba, Laki Shogu, Lakuhom Rosas, Pedraba, God help him. He kind of ran over my sister and my Jennifer Mobili. And, you know, she's in a lot of bruises and pains, and she's been in and out the hospital the last 2 days. And, you know, she's a sick person, she's on dialysis. I will speak Jala very bad. He really hurt her. She's in a lot of pain. Keep her in a prayer and keep her daughter in a prayer. She's only been with him for not even a month or two. Not a good person to be with.
Well, Donna. Sorry to hear that, Mother P.
Yes.
God bless you. Yeah, we'll keep them up in prayer. Amen.
Yes, thank you so much. And pray for the kids. Pray for Donatello and his wife. She's coming home tomorrow, her and the kids. And they're going to get a house, and they're going to move with us. Thank you, Lord. God answered our prayers. Travel in mercy. Pray for them. Pray for the boys that's coming home, traveling mercy. Pray for the world to be obedient, and us all to be obedient to God.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. We shall do that. And 1 minute, praise God. I would like to ask anybody if they have a question or a comment about the word that was shared tonight or a prayer. Please, God bless you. We have a few minutes more on board, and we'd be more than welcome to take your call. Press number one. God bless you. All right. Well, Barney, did you want to take that prayer, or did you want me to pray?
Amen. Go ahead and pray, Nancy.
Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. And Father God, we lift up Dinah and Ricky, Father, and their whole family, Lord. We especially lift up this man, Father God, that, Lord, that he's having so much trouble in his marriage, Father. I pray, Lord, that, Father, he would just, that, Lord, that you would just calm the storms down in this man, Father. I do not know him, Father. I do not know the situation, Lord. But, Father God, I'm asking tonight, Father, that your will, Lord, will be done in the name of Jesus, Father, upon him, his wife, and his marriage, Father God. I pray, Lord, that whatever is wrong, Father God, that you would make it right in the name of Jesus. I also pray, Lord, and ask, Father, for a hand of protection, Lord, to be upon Ricky and Dinah's whole family, Father, and that you will lead them and guide them in the right direction, Father, for every step that they take, Father. I pray, Lord, for blessings to be upon them and your peace, Father, and your joy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, and so be it in the name of Jesus. Well, praise God, Barney. The word was good. Glory be to God. Yes, there's a lot of people that's been taking advantage of that, and they keep actually saying because we're Christians and we're not supposed to do this and we're not supposed to do that. And, you know, just because we're Christian, you know, like we said Wednesday, that doesn't mean for you to take advantage of us. That, you know, we have to draw the line somewhere. And if we don't say what that brother or sister is doing wrong, then we are literally accounted for it as servants of God, because that person could have came to the Lord and we just shoved them off and we didn't help them in the right way. There is a way of judging a person, and then there's a way not to judge. So, you know, if we're going to judge, we have to do it in righteousness. It has to be done properly. It has to be done that we're there to lift up that brother or sister, to help them come out of that, and to pray for them, and to help them, and to show them as servants, as people that know the difference from right from wrong. So, amen. God bless you, Barney. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
It pretty
amen.
Much covered everything. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's very important to know the difference. We're not supposed to judge a person and put them down and make us better than anybody and put somebody down.
No.
But to use judgment in a way to discipline a person, if you see clearly, but if we have a big log in our eye, we cannot see clearly. This is why Jesus says, how could you take the mold out of your brother's eye? If you have the log, if you take the log out, you can see clearly. Yeah. But if you see
Amen.
Clearly, you know the word of God, you could see what's going on, you could clearly tell the brother or sister what is going on. And by the way,
Amen.
How could you discipline anybody if you do not have discernment and tell the brother
yes.
the truth or the sister?
Yes.
And that's what
Amen.
Discipline is, being a disciple. If you want to be a disciple of God, you have to be disciplined. And I think Sister Donna also wanted prayers for traveling mercy, Nancy, for her family.
Yes. Yes. I have I've got a few minutes more to pray. And like I said, we cannot be hypocritical judges. The word hypocrite means that if I'm doing the same thing you're doing, but yet I come to you, Barney, and I say, well, Barney, you're wrong. You're doing this, you're doing that, but I'm doing the same thing. I'm a hypocrite. You can't come like that. You can't do it like that. That's not the way you're judging in righteousness. Amen. God bless you. Well, let us pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to give our announcements. Before we do that, we will be back here on Monday night, the Washington Report at 10 o'clock Central. 11 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Pacific. Do not forget to come in. Know what's around the world. We have the end time news alerts. Praise God. We're going to lift up Dinah for traveling mercies in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, we pray and we thank you, Father, for the word, Lord, that we received tonight, Father. I pray tonight, Father God, that your word, Lord, will just plant that seed of good fruit, Lord, that we may all bear good fruit in you, Father God, as your lap becomes our light, Father, in Jesus' name. Father God, I just lift up Dinah and Ricky for traveling mercies, Father, that they may come and go, Father, in safety. Lord, that you will just watch over them, protect them, lead them, and guide them in the name of Jesus, Father God. May your hand, Lord, be upon that car and upon them, Father God. In Jesus' precious holy name, Lord, just watch over them, Lord. Keep them underneath your wing, safe and sound, Father. Amen and amen. We're going to say we love you all in the love of the Lord. God bless you all. And we'll see you back here Monday night. Barney, say goodnight. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you all, and thank you for joining us. And I want to leave everybody with John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Good night, everybody, and God bless you. Amen.
Amen. God bless. Oh, happy holidays.